This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kine.
Hi there, this is Arvind Rathore. Exciting to be here at the Agile Thoughts Podcast. Thank you, Lance. I'm based out of Bangalore, India. I'm a keen agilist. Been in the industry for 24 years and worked with all over Fortune 500 different large companies and now startup, and keen to understand how the agile world has evolved and share some of my thoughts.
This is a continuing episode about Agile in the C-Suite with Arvind Rathore. Do you have advice on how to create an organization that encourages grassroots ownership of the positive change? And in this case, I think we're talking about agile transformation or any positive change. Like, how do you establish those guardrails and simultaneously empower a team or teams?
Yeah, I think so. This is a little bit that we spoke about a little while back. But yeah, I think we talked about measurements, right? So, you know, what you measure is what gets done in the company, right? So I think for that purpose, as well as to really see that the value is getting delivered as part of the outcomes of what the team is producing, I think we need to have the right measures, you know. And in my opinion, you know, at the end of the day, those measures are your guardrails, right? So how are you as a team self-organized, empowered, and all of that? But if you are achieving your goals and you are accountable for your measures, those are the guardrails for me, right? And then in the way the teams create those goals and objectives for them and the measures thereof, I often, in very mature teams, allow the teams to, you know, set the goals and measures for themselves, right? And in that sense, they're accountable for their doing. They're not getting a free ride and to do whatever what they want, and at the end of the day, accountability is there. So I mean, that takes care of what you do at a team level. Now the complication happens when there are five teams which probably have their guardrails or their measures on what are they getting measured at loggerheads with each other, right? And this is a classic case that we see, for example, in DevOps, right? So in, you know, earlier the development teams are incentivized, or the measures that they have is that, you know, I want to deliver something really, really quick. It might break the production system, but I want to, you know, I'm measured on the velocity and the number of stories that I can get out and so on and so forth, right? On the other hand, you have another team that is maintaining this production system and is accountable for, you know, any outage that happens in the system and things of that nature, right? So we have a sort of a dichotomy, if you will, between speed and stability, right? So how do you balance that out, right? So I think you're a leader. You need to see things at an organizational level on when these goals and the guardrails are being set for each team. So not only do you see them at a team level, but at an organizational level or a functional level or, you know, at a group level, how these things are they at conflict with each other, right? Because that's going to really pull you back otherwise, right? So I think as a leader, you have a responsibility to balance that out, put things in perspective on how input of one team is, or rather an output of one team is an input to the other, and how do we, you know, cross collaborate, and how do we see the risk and dependencies across the groups and functions, right? So I think a lot of meticulous in my teams, you know, in terms of the workshops that we do and in terms of the planning exercise that we do, it goes to those extent, you know, that extent of getting to know each other's objectives. And that becomes really the overall guardrail for the organization on what we can and what we cannot do at a team level and at a group level.
Okay. I want to explore that what we can and can't do part. Can you maybe describe that in a more detail?
Yeah, sure. So the example that I was giving you around, let's say a team of developers is, you know, we create a full stack team, and then they're mandated to create a e-commerce website, for example, right? Mm-hmm. And their responsibility is just to create a website, you know, and then do it as fast as possible, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then say, okay, you guys get together, find out when can you do this.
Okay.
And, you know, and then they come up with this thing that, yeah, we're going to do this in 2 months. right?
Okay. Yeah.
Without realizing that there's another team who's going to probably maintain this.
Uh-huh.
Right? So what I meant by what you can do and they cannot do is that the road, the code, should not be, the incentive should not be only that how fast can you do it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can do quick coding, but you can't add a lot of technical debt to it. You can't add to the maintainability of that software,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the, you can't do part of it. Yeah, you should not, or you cannot do those things
mm-hmm.
in the scheme of not making it the responsibility of another team, and their work increases, or you know, their it doesn't fall into what they would consider as the definition of done as far as the whole project is concerned.
So you hold this position of upper management leadership, and because you're what I would call a lean manager style of person, you understand the guardrails that you're describing very well. What would the advice you give to a manager who doesn't have the technical background that you have, and how would they then define guardrails to with that understanding? You have the understanding that they don't have. So if I'm asked to manage a large organization and I know I need to create guardrails, but I don't have the background in software development, what advice would you give me?
So I think, see, within the organization as well, right, it takes the whole village to really, to get the output of what you're doing. So essentially every company is a software organization, but at the same time, you've got functions like finance, and you've got HR, and you've got procurement, and, you know. So my leadership style is always about including, you know, all those, all functions that are responsible in one way or the other, right? So in my, end of the day, you know, you've got to simplify the North Star that we're talking about, right? And that has not, that is probably not technical in many times, right? So, for example, if you are an Uber, right, your goal is to get a cab, you know, as fast as possible to the consumer. For example, I'm putting it very simply, right? Or if you are a Walmart, you know, you are probably looking at providing the consumer a good customer experience at a low cost, right?
Mm.
So I think it starts from there. And what is your ultimate goal? You know, and those are easy things to understand for a technical and not technical people. And many things that we're talking about are getting accomplished through heavy use of technology. That's a given, right? But I think these things are not in the realm of only understanding, you know, whether we do DevOps, Agile, whether we code in Python, and so on and so forth. Those are the means to achieve the goals that I mentioned around, right? So I think, how do we rally different people within the organization around the outcome that we're trying to seek as an organization? I think that's pretty easy to do. That's pretty relatable. People understand that.
Hmm.
I don't know if that made sense, or you want me to clarify further?
I think it's like, you started out with, it takes a whole large number of people to build a village. And it's like, if you're in upper management and you're not sure, you don't have the detailed knowledge that you have, you can gather some of it by talking to the different concerns at hand. Like, you know, you have the oppositional situations where you have delivery, which wants to deliver, and you have ops or DevOps that maybe is more concerned about downtime. And if you don't know those things, I suppose if you're in a position of leadership, you have to spend some time doing homework, if you will, and talking to the different parts of the organization so you can get them to work together, you know, smoothly. You can't skip the homework, I suppose. They don't have to become a software developer.
Skip the homework.
Yeah.
No, I would say it's still, you know, it's basically simplifying the need of the organization and really, you know, distilling that. For example, you know, when we talk about ops, and you know, a whole lot of practices that goes into keeping a website up. You know, you can get into a lot of details, but at the same time, you know, if you just simplify that, you know, 5 minutes of outage, I mean, depending on the business that you're in, costs you, you know, X number of dollars, and you know, and it leads to and Y number of customers getting out of picture for you. And those kind of things really put things in perspective. Right? Those things need not be technical on, hey, you know, what was the mean time to repair, and what was the time that we took to, and what are the technologies, did we use AI ops to get things into picture and all of that, right? So I think at the very highest level, we can keep things simple in terms of what is the outcome that we're trying to achieve for our end consumers.
Ace is an agile consultant who shares space with a coffee shop in order to save on the rent. Meet this hard-boiled agile consultant and follow his adventures on helping his clients become agile no matter the circumstance. Scrum Noir, the project management comic book that teaches you agile, is available on Amazon. Just search for Scrum Noir. N-O-I-R. Links to various articles written by Arvind, like the CIO article, can be found in the show notes. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player for easy access. If you're not using a podcast player, just go back to the website where you downloaded the MP3, and there you'll see the show notes. The series started at episode 266. And if you're like my friend, Francie Van Workus, and you missed the first episode of the series, go back to agilethoughts.info, and there you'll see a search engine where you can type in whatever episode number you want, and it'll find it for you. Next episode, more Agile in the C-Suite with Arvind. Now let's think about other upper management and leaders that are listening on the show, and can you express to them some symptoms that they may be experiencing due to non-agile leadership?
I think that gives you a sense of, you know, because your workforce is your greatest asset, right? So if they are not upskilling, then you've got a problem at hand. Then you do not have a workforce that can respond to change and hence is agile, right? So I think that is one measure. And you know, you find this seldom, but there are organizations that are putting front and center in their dashboards. Now, they're not showing everything green. They're not showing that, hey, God, you know, everything is hunky-dory. They're saying that, you know, we tried 40 projects this year, 9 of them failed, and 2 of them miserably, and so on and so forth, right? And then if you have an appetite of those kind of this thing, then you know that this organization is agile and you know, your leadership is an agile leadership.